faded. Pale horror replaced it. And I knew he had been dreaming in the place of bones he described in his own annals. A white crow. We had a problem indeed if he preferred a drift through Kina's dreamscapes to a glimpse of life. Sara told him, "We're ready to strike. The Radisha ordered the Privy Council convene just a little while ago. See what they're doing? Make sure Swan is there." Murgan faded from the mist. Sara looked sad. Goblin and One Eye began excoriating the standard bearer for running away. "I saw him," I told them. "Perfectly. I heard him, too." "Exactly like I always imagined a ghost would talk." Grinning, Goblin told me, "That's because you hear what you expect to hear. You aren't really listening with your ears, you know." One Eye sneered. He never explained anything to anybody, unless maybe to Gota, if she caught him sneaking back in the middle of the night. Then he would have a story as convoluted as the history of the company itself. Sounding like a woman pretending not to be bitter, Sara said, "You can bring Tobo in. We know there won't be any explosions or fires. And you melted only 2 holes through the tabletop."
"A base canard," One Eye proclaimed. "That happened only because Frog Face here."
Sara ignored him. "Tobo can record what Murgan has to say, so Sleepy can use it later. It's time for us to turn into other people. Send a messenger if Murgan finds out anything dangerous." That was the plan. I was even less enthusiastic about it now. I wanted to stay and talk to my old friend. But this thing was bigger than a bull session, bigger than finding out if Bucket was keeping well. Chapter 6 Murgan drifted through the palace like a ghost. He found that thought vaguely amusing, though nothing made him laugh anymore. A decade and a half in the grave destroyed a man's sense of humor. The rambling stone pile of the palace never changed. Well, it got dustier, and it needed repairs ever more desperately. Credit that to Soulcatcher, who did not like having hordes of people underfoot. Most of the original vast professional staff had been diminished and replaced by occasional casual labor. The palace crowned a sizable hill. Each ruler of Taglios, generation after generation, tagged on an addition. Not because the room was needed, but because that was a memorial tradition. Taglians joked that in another 1,000 years there would be no city, just endless square miles of palace, mostly in ruin. The Radisha Dra, having accepted that her brother the Prabhendra Dra had been lost during the Shadow Master Wars, and galvanized by the threat of the Protector's displeasure, had proclaimed herself head of state. Traditionalists in the ecclesiastical community did not want a woman in the role, but the world knew this particular woman had been doing the job practically forever anyway. Her weaknesses existed mainly in the ambitions of her critics. Depending who did the pontificating, she had made one of 2 great mistakes, or possibly both.